A good Sunday afternoon on this April the 7th, 2024. Welcome to the Life Investigated podcast today. The title of the message is Fear, Good or Bad? And I guess we could explore this from many different avenues today, but I'm going to explore it from what the Bible says about fear today. Of course, a good, healthy fear sometimes can keep you out of trouble and keep you from doing some really stupid things. Of course, fear can also paralyze you and keep you from doing the things that you're supposed to do in your life also. Now, you religious scholars will probably look at the title of this and say, fear, good or bad? And the first thing you're going to quote me is 1 Timothy, and you're going to say, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And certainly I agree with that by all means. However, does that mean that we're never supposed to have any fear, especially when it comes to God or comes to our walk with God and living this life out? Well, I think not. I think, in 1 Timothy, when we're looking at the scripture here, talking about being oppressed and talking about satanic influences and the world coming against us and trying to influence us to in many numerous situations, like not stand up for God or not stand up for our faith or be pushed around by Satan or be pushed around by the secular situations that you are in, like in today's current climate in 2024. You're afraid to speak when you're in a group. You're afraid to call a male and a female because it might not identify as a female if it's a female, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm talking about. Or you don't, because of the race-based racist out there that tried to get you entangled in into conversations to accuse you of being a racist when it's actually them that are the racist. You don't even know how to properly address somebody's race nowadays, much less their gender or something else. So, and that spirit of fear comes upon you in that situation. Well, here's the bottom line. Righteousness is always going to prevail. It doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer because of the unrighteousness and the sin in this world. But if you partake in unrighteousness and if you cower down to the spirit of fear in one respect, then in every respect in your life, fear is going to take over and you are going to be ineffective in your life. You're going to be ineffective for your job. You're going to be ineffective, certainly for God. If any of you are trying to live and do anything for God, you're going to be ineffective for your family and so on and so on. And fear, the spirit of fear itself will produce this type of spirit of fear that I'm speaking of currently. This type of spirit of fear will produce other phobias to where you become just absolutely paralyzed in your life. You're afraid of going out to eat. You're afraid of going out of the house. You are afraid of driving on the highway. You are afraid of smelling a flower, for you're afraid a bee might come out and sting you. You know, it's just on and on and on and on when you let this demonic type of spirit of fear come upon you and begin to manifest in your life, in your thoughts, and in your spirit. So in 1 Timothy, that's what we're speaking of. We do not succumb to the spirit of fear. Because why? Well, then the Bible goes on to answer why. Because God did not give us that kind of spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. So those are the three emphasis, spiritual emphasis that we should look at, is power, love, and a sound mind, and not fear. But too many times, and especially today, I think people that relate to the Christian faith and call themselves a practicing Christian, I believe you put a little too much emphasis on the spirit of fear. But now on the other side of that, is there a good kind of fear, spiritual fear? Well, certainly if we look in the Bible in numerous places and in many places in the Old Covenant, we would see that the fear of God was prevalent. And the fear of God is what kept society, especially as we see it in the Old Covenant, it's what kept society on a governing line between where the point that you had a tolerable society to live in, or you had absolute anarchy. And that's where we've gotten today. Society has come to the point that it's almost absolute anarchy. Let me read you something. I could read you many, many, many scriptures, but this is just the one that's came to me today to speak about. And it's in Genesis chapter 20. There's a big backstory here, and I will summarize the backstory, but just let me read this one verse to you. And this is Abraham speaking in 20 verse 11. And Abraham said, "Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they shall slay me for my wife's sake." Now, let me tell you the backstory here. Of course, Abraham was sojourning in strange lands as God had directed him to leave his home and to expand his boundaries and go into different places that was unknown to him for the purpose of taking that land that God had actually promised to him that he could have. And God wanted him to have, and God wanted his family to expand that way. And when I say his family, I'm talking about God. God wanted God's family, his family, to expand in this manner. And so Abraham, he came into a land where there was a king called Abimelech. Apparently, Abimelech was a pretty strong king. He had pretty strong forces and et cetera, et cetera. And Abraham knew that. So when he came into the land, if we read back, the first thing that he tells his wife Sarah. Now I'm gonna paraphrase in modern day English of what he was saying in the King James Version, but he said, "All right, look, Sarah. This king's mighty strong, and he's got a big harem because, you know, in those days, that's just the way the custom was. And he's going to want you for his wife. And most likely, they'll kill me," because what he was actually saying, and we can relate it back to verse 11, he was saying, well, this bunch is a bunch of heathens. They don't know God, nor do they respect God. Nor do they fear God. They have no reverence of God. So first thing they're going to do, Sarah, when they see you, is they're going to kill me. Apparently, she was a really, really nice looking woman for Abraham to be afraid that a king is going to see her and say, okay, she's going to be my wife now, because that's the way it's done in a theocracy. In a theocracy, governmental style of organization, then the king gets to have the say-so. And sure enough, if we read into the backstory, king apparently got eyes on Sarah somehow, and the first thing he did, he sent his military, his servants, or his guards, whoever the group may have been, and went into Abraham's camp and said, okay, the king wants this woman for his wife. She's coming with us. And guess what happened? She went with him. Okay. Well, it just so happened, though, that King Abimelech must have had some spiritual sense to him, because he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw, number one, that Abraham was a prophet of God. But he saw that Abraham had lied to him and that Sarah was actually Abraham's wife. So when he woke up out of the dream, first thing he does, now the Bible doesn't exactly say it like this, but this is what happened, and I'm not adding to the Bible. Abraham sent, I mean, King Abimelech sent his guards back out to Abraham and arrested him, because it says he called for him. And when it, in the old covenant, when it says he called, the king calls for you, that means you come by force. It'd be just like a police officer going out and arresting you, searching you, putting handcuffs on you, taking you in front of a judge. So they went out and arrested Abraham, and Abraham was brought before the king's court. Why? Because he lied to the king. After the king had this dream and saw that Sarah was actually Abraham's wife, he put him on trial. And the reason was, this king had enough fear of God. He actually had, apparently, to at least some extent, some fear of God. Abraham apparently misjudged. And he said, and essentially what he told Abraham was this: what crime have I done to you, prophet of God, Abraham? What crime have I done to you that you would bring such destruction onto me and my kingdom by lying to me and allowing me to do such a thing as take a prophet's wife? And then that's where Abraham, so we come back down now, we're to the point of verse 11 that I read to you, and this was Abraham's defense. He was presenting his defense before the king now. And Abraham said, well, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and you'll kill me because of my wife. You will want her and you will kill me. And then, of course, like so many of us do these days, especially when it comes into recognizing the sovereignty of God and the fear of God, I think some of us don't really ever think about the fear of God. But Abraham tried to explain it away. He tried to explain away his sin, which, if you're honest with yourself, you try to do the same thing. I try to do the same thing at times. Here was what he said in verse 12. This is Abraham speaking. But he said, well, all right, king, you got me on trial here. You caught me. I lied. You caught me. Well, actually, God caught him. This is all God's doing. God set this deal up. And God going to set you up too. He's not going to let you go through your life acting like an idiot, never understanding truly who he is, but yet trying to call yourself a Christian and justify your sins through the act of mercies and grace. God will set you up one of these days. So here's Abraham trying to explain away his sin. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became a wife. So here again, back in these days, this was not wasn't really perceived to be incest. Okay. And there was a shift. Okay. I'm not going to get into all that, but so she was actually, apparently, Abraham's half-sister. That's another story. Leave that behind for right now. Here's the deal. Abraham's trying to justify his sin of deception. Well, the king didn't buy it. And neither did God, by the way. Might have been his half-sister, but he came into a covenant of marriage with this woman to be his wife. So bottom line was, she's not his sister. She's his wife. I've got two sisters. They're not my wife. My wife is sitting over here on the couch today. That's my wife. Period. You do the same thing. I do the same thing. We think we can tell a half-truth and justify our sin, and we can't. And why do we think that? Here's the bottom line of where I'm going with this podcast. The reason we think that we can stand before a righteous and a holy, magnificent God, creators of the heavens and the universe, creators of us, the reason that we feel like that we can come in front of a of God and give a half truth and expect him to be okay with it is because we are like what Abraham perceived the king and his court of being, of no fear of God. We have no fear of God, or we would not dare stand in front of God and try to lie to him about our misgivings, our missteps, and our intentional acts sometime. What is it that we think, that God doesn't see? The Bible makes it very clear that he's at the highest height and the lowest of the depths, that he's everywhere all the time, that he sees all things, but yet we think we can get by. And then when we come in front of God and we try to come in front of God and say, well, his grace, and we want to repent, then we say, well, God, I know you understand. Like the commercial from this one group, he gets us. No, he doesn't get you, and he doesn't understand your sin. He wants no part of our sin. Bottom line is, though, you're not fearing God. I'm not fearing God if I'm doing that. Listen, we need, in this nation especially in the United States of America, I will not speak for the others, but I'm kind of convinced they're in the same boat we are. You need to come back to the point that when the name of God is mentioned, or when you think about coming in front of God, you need to start shaking in your boots there, Bubba. Because one day, whether you are an atheist, an agnostic, whether you're Catholic, Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, I don't care what you are, or communist, or anything else, there will be coming a day soon, because we have entered into the dispensation in the birth channel of the last days of when Christ will return to this earth and he will judge. He will come as judge. And even if our lives end before that event happens, you are still going to stand in front of this sovereign, holy, all-powerful God one day. It's irrelevant, Bubba, whether you believe in him or not. Now, there's coming a day that you will. But that day is not going to work out very well for you in those times. Now is the time to come to a reckoning that we must fear God, and the fear of God must come upon this nation. If many of these evangelists and prophets say there's still going to be a revival, there will not be a revival in America without repentance and fear of God. If that happens, okay. Do I feel all warm and fuzzy that's going to happen? I don't personally. That there will become this great awakening in this country before the Lord returns. I don't personally feel that at this juncture in my walk with God. Maybe God will give me some insight. Maybe he will tell me I'm wrong. And it's certainly, if he tells me I'm wrong, I will come on here on a podcast and acknowledge that I've been wrong. At this point in time, I don't sense that, but that does not mean it won't happen. I'm just saying I don't sense it. But I think as far as we have allowed this country to go into the absolute chaotic states of hell, hell is chaotic. Satan is chaotic. And all we have to do is look at some of the illustrators of hell, and we have to look at some of the illustrators of Satan, and we can see that we as a country have fallen right along with his kingdom. See, Satan has a kingdom also, and we have come right into alignment with that kingdom. You can blame OJB all you want to, but many millions of you out there elected him, and you put your stamp of approval on him. And then many of you that didn't vote for him, you just didn't go out and vote at all, because you were too religious to vote for the other guy. You had such a stinking spirit of religion. You were too religious to go out and vote for a man that was at least he was upholding your rights as a man or a woman of faith to go to church and to vote and to practice your religion the way you wanted to. And I doubt very seriously. It's the only thing that I think in 2024 that will get Trump back into office will be an absolute repentance and the fear of God coming upon the individuals of this nation. Outside of that miracle happening, I doubt that we're going to see him back in office again. Why? Why would you say that? Because we have no fear of God. If we came in repentance and feared God, then maybe God would have mercy on this nation and say, okay, I'm going to let him have another term to give you another reprieve for your religious freedom so you can help build the kingdom even more and we can usher these end times in without the destruction and prosperity. But what would prompt God to give us another chance as this nation? I mean, really think about it. What are we doing that would prompt God to give us another national chance? I currently do not see that. Maybe there's things going on that I don't see, but I don't see it. I certainly don't see it on the national news. On the conservative side, come on now. Fox News had an astrologer on there the other day, giving them their horoscopes. Listen to me, right-wing Christian, whatever y'all call your party of the party that you've got in there of the absolutists on the right side. I can't think of the name, but and you're so upset about everything. But then you will watch a supposed, and I watched it too. So I knew I was somewhat taken aback, although they don't represent themselves as a Christian network. When you bring when you're supposedly a conservative network, and two or three of the commentators up there are always stressing their faith in God and Jesus and da 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 and tiptoeing through the tulips, then you bring an astrologer who the Bible very clearly says is a sin and is witchcraft, witchcraft, witchcraft. Witchcraft does not come from God on national news and lets her prophesy their horoscope or future to them. Something wrong with you there, right-wing Christian. You need to be sending Fox News like 9 million emails and saying, don't ever do that again or you'll never be back on my TV set. So everything I see, in the left, in the right, and in the middle, I see no fear of God. When I have conversations with people, I see no fear of God. When I left my last pulpit, either 6 or 7 years ago now, and I'd prayed to be released from that pulpit, didn't have any idea what God wanted me to do, and quite frankly, still don't, all of these years later. God will move when God's ready to move, and that's just the bottom line. But God sent me on a year-long rebuke. Every time I turned around and was going to him in prayer, I got to the point I didn't want to pray because I was getting rebuked every time I did. About my misgivings and my wrong attitude and my wrong teachings. And I would confident during my whole ministry time that I've always preached and taught the Bible. And after I was released from that last assignment and I was seeking God, saying, what am I going to do now? Where am I going to go? He said, you've got some things to learn. I'm like, okay, what I got to learn? That's kind of arrogant on my side. Talking to a sovereign God, asking, well, what do I have to learn? I mean, I've been at this 30 years now. He said, you've been preaching some things in error that is not me. And you've been interpreting my word in some ways that are in error. And you didn't seek me about that. So you have been wrong. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. About the only thing I'm really afraid of in life is God. That's pretty much it. There are situations I don't want to be in, but about the only thing that I'm really afraid of in this life is God. Yeah, I know God's love. I get it. He does love me. That's why I'm afraid, because he loves me so much that he would give himself, his own son, to die for me. That causes me fear. That tells me how much he does love me. But it tells me how much that I didn't love him back. That it shook me up so bad that even to this day, even though I know it is my assignment to eventually be back in the pulpit, and for years I even confessed, I do not want to be in a pulpit again. And people would look at me funny and they would think, well, what's old Kevin doing? Kevin ain't never been any perfect being, but let me tell you something. I haven't wanted to be back in the pulpit because the seriousness of the responsibility of it to speak for God the correct way, the way that God wants me to speak to him, and that has no error in it. That just shook me to my core. When the Holy Spirit says, you have been in error in your ministry. Now, there will come a time that I will answer for that. It will be under God's grace and mercy. Yes, it will. It will be under the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. But yet, all of those years that I thought I was doing something great for God, or at least towing the line, those works will be burned up now when I get in front of the righteous God. So, my friend, if you want the country to straighten up, if you want your personal life to straighten up, it's time to start shaking in your boots a little bit. First way to straighten up is to say, you know, Lord, you are God and I'm not. I've been the God of my life. I've done things my way and continue to do things my way. Some of you have mocked God so many times, you will answer for that. Even if you get saved today and start pursuing God wholly, I mean in a righteous manner, you will have to answer for that. But you mock God. Think about what you're doing when you laugh about God, when you laugh about Jesus. And even when you laugh at God's true people, when they're trying their best to serve him, and you laugh at them and you make fun of them and you call them. I'm talking about you fellow Americans, these foreign lands, they're so full of evil and hate and have propagated and kicked God out of their country for so many years now. They're just fools. But you Americans that have been here, born and raised here, and you transplants that have come from other countries and been here for years and years now, you've had the opportunity to hear the true gospel of Christ, but yet you still don't serve him. You still mock him. The fear of God is what America needs. Yes, America needs to kick the criminal element out of Washington, but unless we get the fear of God down in our spirits, ain't nothing will change. Well, many of you, I'm sure, don't particularly care for this podcast today, but that's all right too. But for those of you that do, you see my email address there on the screen, patriottrainer@protonmail.com. You could just drop me a little one line, say, right on, Kevin. If you don't like it, you can drop that too, but I ain't going to read it because your opinion, I love you, but your opinion doesn't mean anything to me. God's does. See you next time.